Welcome to the Analytics Advantage podcast, brought to you by Oracle Analytics Cloud. Analytics reinvented.
My name is Dan Smucker. Welcome to the Analytics Advantage podcast. In today's episode, we're discussing some of the key analytics trends we need to look out for in the next few years and why they're important for businesses worldwide. We have a special guest today, but before we get started, I want to introduce my co-host, Michael Singer, Director of Product Marketing for Oracle Analytics Cloud. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Dan. Today we have Bruno Aziza. Bruno recently joined Oracle as the Vice President of Outbound Product Management. I'm going to let him actually tell us about himself. Bruno, what's going on here?
Well, thank you guys for having me here. I'm very excited to be part of your great podcast. I just joined the company, and it's a very interesting time in the business intelligence and advanced analytics and AI space. So, tell you a little bit about myself briefly, and I'm sure it'll come up later in this podcast. I've done three types of companies. I've done very small companies, launched companies like Sisense, for instance, or Alpine Data Labs. People on your podcast probably know about these companies. I've done mid-sized companies like Business Objects, which was the leader in business intelligence, and later on went IPO and was acquired by SAP. And after that, I went on and worked on Microsoft Business Intelligence, where I met a lot of the folks that actually are working now at Oracle. And so it's great to be back in this environment where you've got great innovation, great people, and certainly a market that's in transformation at the moment.
I understand you're from the south of France, and you're into analytics. And I just want to understand if there's any relationship between France and analytics. What is that relationship?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't want to sound arrogant, even though as a French person, arrogance is our specialty. In fact, I'll tell you a little bit of an anecdote. I was at a doctor's office, and he was working on my ankle, and I was trying to joke with him, and he said, "Hey, what are French people known for?" And I said, arrogance. Any other stupid questions? But of course, it's all in jokes. We are very nice people, but we also are very much into math. When you grow up in France, math is a big field, and a lot of us study it. And I think it turns into a lot of companies that are related to numbers and data. Business Objects was certainly one of the most successful French companies. Actually, started with Bernard Luteau, who was at Oracle and saw the opportunity to create visual analytics on top of Oracle databases. That's how I actually all started. Moved from Paris to San Jose and built this great company. It took us, I think, less than 4 years to go IPO, mm-hmm. and then, of course, got acquired. But there's a lot of innovations, a lot of people involved in this field. When I was at Microsoft in the SQL Server team, I want to say two-thirds of the team were French people. And so it's a field that we naturally get interested in, and it translates into a profession ultimately.
Interesting. Well, that's great. I wanted to kind of understand, you've been in analytics, you've done so much with all these different companies in the past, small, medium, large. What brings you to Oracle?
When you take a new job, I think there's a few things that matter is, the technology, the people, the market. And then for me, when I looked at the product, there's a lot of innovation here that not a lot of people know about. For instance, the center of design for Oracle Analytics is really the cloud and this trend called augmented, this idea that you can use artificial intelligence as part of your business workflow as well as your analytics workflow. So it's very powerful. It's a lot of technical assets, which as a product guy myself, I thought, wow, this could be a really interesting story. Also, the roots of the company. We're the database company. We have the largest, the best applications across any vertical and any function. So it really is a company that is primed to be the leader in showing the way. The people, like I said earlier, you've got folks like Mark Greasy on customer success, somebody I worked with and actually was my neighbor when I was in Redmond. So you have folks like Bob Dutcher, who was on the marketing side. I worked with him at Business Objects. And you got folks like Joey Fitz, who built the partner ecosystem at Microsoft when I was there. And so combination of product, combination of people is interesting. And then when you look out to the outside, tell you, I went to Oracle World London, and in 2 days I met 21 customers. And I tell you, the passion these customers have and the type of scenarios they have are really very interesting. And I don't know that half the world knows about these stories. And so it was very motivating for me to just see kind of all these things coming together, our customers, the people, the technology assets, right at a time where the market is going through a complete transformation, moving beyond self-service. And I think the next 10 years are going to be quite different from the last 20 years. And being part of that story is very motivating for me.
So you start off with business objects as part of your, like, your core competency. And that's, like, obviously, you know, rich embedded history in terms of business analytics and, and such, data analysis. But you're now entering into a new future, this augmentation, the augmented analytics that you're speaking about. Talk a little bit about the latest developments that you're noticing in business intelligence and analytics, and what should we be looking at in 2019?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, it's very timely, too. If you look this past week, Gartner issued a great press release talking about the top 10 trends in the space. And certainly, if you're in the space today, buying, deploying, using analytics technology, you're going to be hit by a lot of research. And so it really is about how are you going to use all that information to drive an investment agenda that's going to, you know, make your team more productive, but also have an impact on your own career, I think, for the people listening. There are three trends, I think, that are clearly being laid out for us, and I think will define the next 10 years of this space. You know, if you look back, the first 10 years were probably about control and making sure that, you know, back when I was a business objects, is about the universe and making sure the centralized version of the truth was getting to people, and IT were building the universe. And there was frustration about that, which led to this wave of self-service tools and desktop-based, you know, freedom and download the data and download the tools and so forth. And I think that worked very well in making data available to everyone. But then the pendulum swung back in realizing, well, that could be really bad for the company itself. If you think about 2018, I was in London, like I said, a few weeks ago, and I think companies like Facebook and other companies were fined millions of dollars because data was used improperly, maybe not by the company, but also by the individuals that had access to those data sets that were downloaded to their desktop. Now, if you look forward, you want to keep self-service available within a secured framework. And so this idea of freedom within a framework is, I think, going to be a challenge for organizations and enterprises to deploy. And certainly if you look back at the tool set that they've used, they were not built in that era. The center of gravity of the tools that you see today in the market is desktop and is about download. It's not about cloud. It's not about securing. It's not about this framework that, you know, I think people are going to define their career over the next 10 years.
Is there a trouble spot then? I mean, that's a pitfall, isn't it, that to be having so much of your information on your own desktop as an individual experience.
Yeah.
How do people get away from that then? Or how do you progress to the next level?
So the way you progress to the next level, and if you think if you look at some of these innovators and customers that use the Oracle Analytical Cloud today, I think about Western Digital, I think about companies like City of Las Vegas or Hertz or many of the other ones that I've met, they're looking at the progression from the individual insights and this idea of emailing to everybody to starting with center of design over the cloud and bringing the data to the user and bringing the insights to the user, either because it's the right device. You think about innovation on mobile, and to some extent, you know, mobile has been kind of the stepchild in this industry where most of the mobile solutions today have been the representation of what you see in the web and the mobile phone, and it doesn't work. And that's one of the things actually that attracted me to the company is if you look at the mobile innovation, the fact that the analytics solution at Oracle are built for mobile first, I think you'll be impressed. So I think that's the first thing. The second thing is around the integration within your workflow. This thing, I think it's called continuous intelligence, which actually, if you look at Gartner's prediction, they say more than half of major new business systems will integrate continuous intelligence by 2022. The idea is that if you have an application, you want the analytics to be part of that experience. And today, you know, I think the world does not offer a great solution for that. If you want to get analytics, you almost have to become a business analyst yourself. But there's hundreds of millions of line of business leaders that want to just the analytics to come to them. And then the third thing is embracing AI and machine learning, not in the way that you have to be a data scientist, but in the way that actually is helping making the heavy and the difficult pieces of the data analytics pipeline a lot easier. Data management, data preparation, for instance. You know, through the end of 2022, data management tasks, manual tasks, will be reduced by 45% thanks to the use of machine learning, according to Gartner. Certainly, if I look at how Oracle Analytical Cloud does data preparation and automated the enrichment of data, and that's just because machine learning was built from day one in the tool and enables you to, really think, take the mundane tasks that are very important but don't require a human being to do. If we can use the machine to automate them, we should. So a lot of transformations, and certainly I think what I would do is reassess your tool set and decide if the tool set you have today is appropriate for the next 10 years.
We've talked a lot about machine learning and advanced analytics on this program before. Mm-hmm. So I think 45% is actually probably very conservative, wouldn't you say?
Probably. If you think about the average, you know, data analyst, I think the stat out there, so this one, don't quote me on this one, but I think is 80% of their time is spent preparing data. So if we can remove just half of that, think about how much time we're leaving for our creativity, collaboration, and ultimately, you know, you're building analytics and putting data in the hands of people so they find solution and enable you to innovate. And if you take that away from them, one, you won't be able to compete as much, and you probably won't be able to keep and retain the best talent because, I mean, face it, who wants to spend their life preparing data?
Kind of helps you focus on what's important, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, clearly exciting times, right?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
What do you think we are in this evolution of you know, augmented and AI?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's interesting because you've got folks out there talking about the most complex artificial intelligence scenarios, you know, face recognition, or I think this past week is looking at technology that generates faces of fictitious people automatically. And that's sexy and that's awesome. But I think if you talk to real enterprises, they're really at the beginning of, okay, how do I simplify this workflow of today? If I need to make an important decision, do I have the right data? Do I have the right people look at the data? Is it integrated in my workflow so I can actually know that there's a repeatable process for making the right decision? So I think that's the mistake that we make. This is my opinion. When we talk about artificial intelligence, is you have to think about where artificial intelligence is applied. Nobody's buying artificial intelligence by itself. We're buying the capabilities of artificial intelligence so it enables us to do things better, faster, and cheaper as a part of another experience. And I think, you know, when you think about analytics, you have to think about that way. I'll give you a very simple example. Any business analyst that's listening to this, I think will recognize it. So let's say that you've got all your data put together and you're happy with the data. That's already a great victory. Well, then what you have to do is build a report. And most people, I call this the empty canvas syndrome, ECS. If you have that, you'll recognize it. You're looking at the canvas looking at you, and you don't know how to get started. And so because you have machine learning and artificial intelligence, we know the data set. We know the catalog. We know the metadata. Why don't we generate the dashboard for you, and then you can take it from there? And I think that's what you know, is meant by augmented analytics. It's a feature Oracle Analytics calls Explain. And that's where the world needs to gravitate towards, is stop thinking about it as a technology. Think about it more as a capability that enables you to get to the result faster. And in this case, you want to get the insights to the person that can take action as fast as possible. And gathering data and guessing what the most beautiful dashboard is, as sexy as that might sound, does not help the bottom line.
I tell you, yeah, that empty canvas, that's like ranks up there with the fear of spiders and speaking in public. I
think. Yeah, yeah. And then yeah. How many times have you run into that problem, right? Yeah. It's like if you're a writer,
absolutely.
It's the empty page.
Empty
you know?
Page, exactly.
Definitely helps the business user.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk now a little bit about how do you choose the right tool for the right job? I mean, my dad used to work with woodworking tools, and he always told me, right tool for the right job. So I'm going to ask you the same question, Bruno. Even if you're not a data scientist, you have to have some type of platform or tool set that you can use that you're going to feel comfortable with so that you don't go running and screaming with this empty canvas that we've been talking about. What's your advice for those practitioners out there who have either a good amount of knowledge of how to do business intelligence? What kinds of things should they be looking for in a good tool or platform?
So this is a tough question, right? Because I wish there was a phone number or a name of a product I could give you and it'd solve all your problems. I think it really goes back to the use case, the specificity of the use case, and then getting out of this idea that there's one tool that can solve it all, right? I mean, you could do a lot of damage with the hammer, but clearly it's not going to solve all your problems. So I think you got to first look at what's the user trying to do and what is the best solution for them? I'll give you a couple of examples. So if you are a line of business manager, for instance, or an executive, it is clear that your life is not about building. It's not about producing very sophisticated and flashy dashboards. And so here, the solution for a use case like that is really, how do I embed the ability to consume and make decisions based on data within the environment they're already in. And so there, you know, you're looking at embedded business intelligence applications, but you also want to offer the ability for people to, if they're in a CRM application, for instance, to have the ability to look at data across other applications, because you're not running your business just with sales and marketing, you're looking at other places. So I think that's probably one category. The second category is around this freedom of ad hoc needs and so forth, where there you really have to create a lot more freedom that's outside of the application world. And there, the problem I think you want to solve is you want to give them as much capabilities as you want, but you also want to do it in a very secure manner. And I think that's been the challenge in this industry. A lot of innovation, lots of beautiful tools, but they're single-threaded and they're dependent on the individual, and so that gets the enterprise in trouble. And then you've got depth tools, if you will, that you know, will enable people to coding and so forth, you know, that's a different type of. So I'd probably look at my population and I'll say, look, there's line of business folks, there's probably hundreds of millions of people in the world like that, and they need a light experience, but it needs to be in their life. Then there is tens of millions of people that are business analysts, and they want a little bit more freedom, but I got to worry about how I govern that. And then I've got fewer people, but maybe they have to be deployed on the toughest problems, and there I got to have a platform that's open. Ideally, you can provide these capabilities from the same technology platform. That's where really you could bridge the gap across these three folks. But I don't think you want to be confused about a specific capability for the wrong use case. I'll just give you a very specific example. Earlier we talked about mobile. I think the error that people made when they deployed mobile capabilities into the device, I mean, I think about particular vendors that, you know, really bet their future on mobile, they made two mistakes. Mistake number one is they created the dashboard on the web and made it available on mobile, which is not useful because the mobile interface is not like the web. And they also did the opposite, whereas they expected a consumer of a mobile experience to build a dashboard. So they tried to give them all the bells and whistles that you would get in a desktop. And guess what? Nobody wants to build a dashboard from an iPad. And so to me, that's a technology-based answer to the business problem. Think about the business use case, and there's probably going to be three, maybe two, and it depends on your company, maybe four, who knows, and think about how you enable that use case to become better. I don't know if that makes the answer more complicated or if it gives you the answer you want.
It makes sense.
I would actually even just ask, you know, because you're talking about these three, almost these three layers of people who would be using these different types of tools. Where have you seen the most difference being made at this point, and how do we help support that?
So I think, you know, the trend that is not talked about enough today, we talked about mobile, we talked about AI, we talked about the cloud, I think those are given, is voice. You know, when I was at Microsoft, we had the Xbox, and I remember when we shipped this product called Kinect, which is basically a camera on top of Xbox, and the tagline was, you are the controller. And I think the analytics world is going to go through the same way, where your voice is now going to control your interaction, not just with your computer, but with the database itself. I mean, you saw the keynote from Larry at Oracle World San Francisco, where he interacted with the application via Alexa. And I think it's going to be the same thing for any query. I mean, imagine if I could just be in my kitchen and yell out, you know, what's the revenue number by products, by segments, and what should I do about it? What if, you know, the engine could tell you back, not just the report itself, but it tells you what actions to take. That capability I'm describing today is actually available in Oracle Day by Day mobile application, which is a free application you could download off the Apple marketplace. And very few people know about that. I think if you're in the enterprise today and you want to deploy in a very secure manner, a different way to engage business users that otherwise will not come to your report, that is the best way to get the data to people. I'll just give you a stat on that. If you don't believe that voice is the next interface, I think Juniper Research just recently reported that smart assistants will grow by 1,000% over the next 5 years.
Yeah, that natural language processing is really hitting home with a lot of people. Yeah,
that's just key because, you know, early on in the business intelligence world, one of the big issues we had is getting adoption because the tool set was not useful. Right? When I was back at Business Objects, before the self-service wave came in, I think the adoption of business intelligence tools were 25% or something like that. So a ridiculous number. I mean, what do you do in your life where 75% of the time you don't use it, right? So we were really kind of perplexed by that because we're thinking, IT spending all this money. And now it's gone a little further with self-service, but now we got the security issue that we got to deal with. So how do you get to 90% of people using data to make decisions? And the way to do that is not to make every single one a business analyst that downloads the tool and downloads the data. I mean, that's force feeding the system. You got to put the data in the workflow of where that user is. And frankly, the people making the decisions on a daily basis are line of business folks. You got to get the insights to them.
They're talkers.
That's right. And they like to talk.
They do like to
just
talk.
Just like we do.
Yeah. So, Bruno, this is great. I mean, we could be here for another 3 hours talking about this. What is, you know, if you could think of one bit of research, you kind of talked a little bit about research a lot through this podcast. If you could think of one bit of research that would really help us out here, what piece would you go to?
So there's a lot. It's certainly in this month, there's going to be a lot hitting folks. And so I feel like they might feel overwhelmed with data and information. There's one piece of research that I think is particularly interesting, especially if you're in the process of deciding what do the next 10 years look like. It's actually on our blog. It's a piece of research by 451 Research. Okay. And it talks about the market. It also talks about Oracle in the perspective of that market. And so certainly if you're subscribing to the podcast and kind of want to know a little bit about direction, that's certainly a piece of research I would look at. It gives you a little bit of an inside view of how we work at Oracle, but also how the rest of the market's behaving. It talks a little bit about voice. It talks a bit about cloud, and it also talks about how we've organized ourselves here at Oracle to make sure that we design for customers first and we give you guys the best product we could ever build.
Excellent. Well, that about does it for our podcast. We've been speaking with Bruno Azzisa, VP of Product, Oracle Analytics Cloud. Thank you so much, Bruno, for being part of this podcast.
Well, thank you guys for having me here.
And for more information, please reach out to us at oracle.com/analytics.